come before thee after a week and that we've went through in this world, and we pray, Lord, that you would strengthen us, that you would give us the grace that we need for the upcoming week and the strength that we need for the upcoming week. Oh, Lord, that you would illuminate the scriptures today and just teach us the things of Christ. And oh, may we just let the cares of this world fade away for the time that we're here. And may we focus upon thee, O Lord, the great I am, our great Savior, Redeemer, and Deliverer. We love you, Lord Jesus, because you first loved us. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Genesis chapter 42. Genesis chapter 42, we'll continue where we left off last week. Now, in our study in the life of Joseph, we saw that Joseph's brethren came back to Egypt to buy food because the famine was great in their land. We saw that the first of this chapter. And they told their father Jacob that unless they took Benjamin down to Egypt with them, that the trip that they were making was fruitless. Because the man had said, the man being Joseph, it said, you need to bring your brother down, and you won't get anything unless I see his face. We also saw that Judah had agreed to be surety for Benjamin. He said, I will be surety for him. Of my hand shalt thou require him. If I bring him not unto thee and set him before thee, then let me bear the blame forever. And we saw that in this situation, Judah typified the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our blessed surety. He's our blessed surety, beloved. The surety of his covenant people. The surety of all those whom the Father hath given him. And it's his responsibility to bring us before the Father. To bring us before the Father safely. And he will do that. He will not lose one sheep. Not one sheep. And he from everlasting undertook to answer for his people in the great office of surety. Ponder that. He from everlasting undertook to answer for his people in this great office as our surety in the place of his people. He has fulfilled all righteousness that was demanded of us before God. He's fulfilled it all, beloved. He is our righteousness. He is our righteousness. And he has expiated all the offenses against us by his substitutionary death upon the cross. And he has pledged, as Judah has said here, to bring all his people and set them before the Father. And set them. When he said, I'll not lose one of them, that's what he's saying. I'm going to bring them all. I'm going to bring them all. And no man, remember, no man, that's including ourselves or any other, can pluck us out of his hand. No man. No one. Oh, what a great surety we have. Let's start our study today with reading verses 11 to 14 in Genesis chapter 43. And their father Israel said unto them, if it must be so now, do this. Take of the best fruits in the land, in your vessels, and carry down the man a present, a little balm and a little honey, spices and myrrh, nuts and almonds, and take double money in your hand, and the money that was bought again in the mouth of your sacks, carry it again in your hand. Peradventure, it was an oversight. Take also your brother, and arise and go unto the man. Notice singular, the man. There's only one place where we can go. One place where we sinners can go to have the forgiveness of all our sins. And that's in Christ, our heavenly Joseph. Only one place where we can buy corn. And we buy it without money and without price. It's given to us. Just like it was given to their brethren, Joseph's brethren earlier. They found all that money in their sacks. All that corn was free. Take also your brother and rise and go again unto the man. and God Almighty give you mercy before the man, and he may send away your brother, your other brother, and Benjamin. If I be bereaved of my children, I am bereaved." So we see in verse 11, look at what Jacob says to his sons, "If it must be so." It must be so. Once again, all things happen according to God's sovereign plan and purpose. They're ordained by God before time began. Therefore, we can marvel that Jacob responded to the perfect sovereign will of God by saying, "If it must be so." If it must be so. Jacob was the head of the family, and we know from our studies last week that he was very reluctant to send Benjamin down to Egypt. He was very reluctant to let him go with them. But he really had no choice. He really had no choice. He had been hemmed in by God's sovereignty, hasn't he? He'd been hemmed in by God's sovereignty. And he had to allow Benjamin to go down to Egypt. If he did not let Benjamin go, then they would all starve to death, wouldn't they? They'd all starve to death. And he knew this. And notice, though he has some instructions for them, he says, do this in verse 11. He gives his son some specific instructions by saying, do this. They have very little left. But note, he tells them to take of the best fruits of the land in your vessels. Carry with you. Carry down to the man a present, a little balm, a little honey, spices, myrrh, nuts, and almonds. So we see again that Jacob and his family, they had some things to eat, but they had no bread. And bread was a staple in the diet of the people at this time, just like it is still a staple. Even today. Bread to the body is what Jesus Christ is to the soul of the believer. For them. Bread to the body is what Jesus Christ is for the soul of the believer. He's the true bread from heaven, isn't he? Christ is the true bread from heaven that every believer needs to live. It's he who sustains us. And that every believer feeds upon continually as we journey in this world. So bread was to them like Christ is to the believer. We must have it. We must have it. We must have Christ. Right? We must have him. We must have him. And we know that our great God is a divine provider. We know that he causes the rain to fall upon this world. Providing food for who? The just and the unjust. Right? He provides for both. He provides for both. But all what he provides for his justified people in Christ is far more abundant than what he gives the unjust. Far more abundant. They do not receive the heavenly blessings that we receive in Christ. Oh. Here's a question to all who will hear this message. What profit is there in the things of this world if you lose your own soul? What profit is there in the things of this world if you lose your own soul? And what would you give in exchange for your soul? There's nothing we can give God in exchange for our soul. Nothing. Nothing. Absolutely nothing in this world and absolutely nothing that we do. So, beloved, how thankful we should be. How thankful we should be for the honor of assembling with his saints. We get to assemble with God's people. What a blessing. We get to assemble for public worship. We get to sit under the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And our great God is pleased to feed us from the green pastures of his word. He feeds us, doesn't he? If my words are the only words you hear, you won't get anything from it. But if the Holy Spirit takes those words and feeds your soul as a believer, right? Oh, it's honey, isn't it? Oh, it's so wonderful. It's so wonderful. And we preachers, we proclaim what we've learned in our study that's blessed us. We feast on the Word just like everybody else. And it's absolutely wonderful. This is our, beloved, this is our heavenly manna, isn't it? Christ is our heavenly manna. This book speaks about Him. It testifies of Christ. It proclaims Christ. It tells us who he was in glory and who He is. God. It tells us of He came to this earth as King and died and bled as a substitute of His people. And then it tells us where He is right now. It tells us what He's done. And now it tells us where He is. He's in glory, beloved. Seated at the right hand of the Father. And so we get the honor of public worship to gather together. And how precious God's grace is to every believer in showing us our need of our heavenly corn. Think of that. In our natural state, we had no idea that we had need of the heavenly corn. Did you have any idea in your natural state that you had need for the bread of life, which is the Lord Jesus Christ? Did you have any idea? No idea at all, did we? In our natural state. We just didn't. We just didn't. But praise God that He reveals to us that our desperate need for Christ. And we do not see our need we do not see our need in our natural state. We just don't. Until we are bought to the point where we see our need. See, Jacob was bought to a point where he realized, if I don't send Benjamin down, we're all going to starve. We're all going to die. And so he sends his son down. He tells him, take a little present. What's our Lord's command to Peter? Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. This is also the command from the Lord Jesus Christ to all His preachers. We're to feed the sheep of God. And how do we do it? With the green pastures of His Word. We preach and proclaim the gospel, and the Holy Spirit takes those words, and oh my, He illuminates the Scriptures, and God's people are blessed by the preaching of the gospel. By the preaching of the gospel. We see here in verse 12 that Jacob tells his sons to take double money in your sacks, in your hand. And the money that was bought again in the mouth of your sacks, carry it again in your hand. Peradventure, it was an oversight. So he tells them, take double what you would normally take because maybe the prices went up. You never know, right? That's what some commentators say. They said maybe Jacob thought the prices had went up a little bit because it's now 2 years into the famine, beloved. And so he says, take double and take all the money that was in your sacks. Take that too. Take that as well. Take that as well. And we know that, and look what he says, carry it again in your hand. Peradventure, it was an oversight. So he says, take that money that was in your sacks just in case it was an oversight. We know it wasn't no oversight, was it? We know it wasn't any oversight. There was no oversight. When that money was put in their sacks. Oh, my beloved. It was no oversight at all. But they didn't know that. It was a deliberate act of kindness by Joseph. It was a deliberate act of kindness by Joseph. The ruler of Egypt. Who had the right to do. Now, think of this. He was the ruler in Egypt. And what did he have? He had the right to do that which seemed good in his sight, didn't he? What about our great God? He can do whatever seems good in His sight, can He? He can. You see how Joseph pictures our great Savior, beloved. Oh my. And Joseph's brothers, they did not know that what they had received was a blessing from their own brother. They had no idea. All they knew is he was Zaphnath-Paaneah. That's all they knew. They didn't know he was Joseph. All they knew is this man, we got to go to him or we get no corn. We don't know who he is, but he's the ruler. That's all we know. That's all we know. The very one who they hated without a cause, the very one they sold into slavery is the very one who has blessed them with that money. Not just with the money, though, with the corn that would sustain them, right? Yeah. The very one they just tossed into the pit. And remember, we in our study, they heard his cries and they just turned a deaf ear to him. The very one. Oh, what grace. Who have we sinned against? Our heavenly Joseph in our natural state, haven't we? The very one we turned a deaf ear to in our natural state. Oh, what mercy, beloved. What mercy's on display. My, oh my. So with Joseph's brethren, we have a picture of the natural man's hatred for Christ in their hearts. And this includes all the people who come into this world, including God's born-again, blood-washed people. That was in our regenerate state, we breathe God's air. Think of that. In our regenerate state, we breathe God's air. We walk on his earth. Right? We drink his water, because this is all his. It's all his. We eat his food, not only taking all these things for granted, but filled with enmity, the scripture says, towards God in our natural state. And yet he has mercy on us. You know why? Because we were the divinely loved ones from eternity. Isn't that amazing? Oh, it's amazing. It's truly, truly amazing. So Joseph typified Christ, the exalted God-man. He's the one who has all the keys to the storehouse to all the heavenly blessings. They're all in his hands, in the hands of our heavenly Joseph, the Lord Jesus Christ, our elder brother, beloved, our elder brother. And he bestows his blessing or withholds his blessings, both physical and spiritual, as it seems good to do in his sight. He's God. He can do whatever he pleases. And his spiritual blessings are reserved only for his elect, those he redeemed, those he purchased with his own precious blood. Oh, beloved, always remember that everything comes from our great God's sovereign hand. Always remember that, everything. The air we breathe, the ground we walk on, it's all his. The beauty we see in nature, it's all his. It's all his. It's all his, beloved. And when we are born again by the Holy Spirit of God, then we humbly bow before our heavenly Joseph, don't we? We humbly bow before the one we shook our fist at. We humbly bow before him. Humbly bow before him. And what do we do? We give him all the glory, don't we? All the glory for all the blessings that he's pleased to shower down upon us. Now in verses 13 and 14, we read where Jacob said to his sons, "Take also your brother and go and arise unto the man. And God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may send away your other brother and Benjamin." And then he says, "If I be bereaved of my children, I am bereaved." So we know that Jacob was reluctant to send Benjamin down, to let him go. But here in the end, he has no choice. Again, he's been hemmed up by the sovereignty and the providence of God. He has no choice. And let us remember that it was God's purpose for Jacob and his family to go to Egypt. To go to Egypt. And eventually become slaves to the wicked Pharaoh. And then he would deliver them with his almighty hand. And the famine is what's forced Jacob to send Benjamin with his sons to buy the corn. They needed the corn to survive. Oh, how we need Christ to survive, don't we? You ever think of how did I do it? How did I ever do anything before Christ? Well, you know, I got the answer for that. He kept us. He kept us even before we were saved, beloved. Isn't that amazing? Because we're his sheep from his eternity. We're his divinely loved ones from eternity. He preserved us. That's amazing. That's absolutely incredible. That's the great love that Christ has for his bride. Is you can't measure it. You can't plumb the depths of it, beloved. You just can't. You just can't. think upon this as we study the life of Joseph in the Holy Scriptures. We are seeing by divine revelation the predetermined purpose of God unfold right before our eyes. We are seeing that in Joseph's life. And not everybody can see this, beloved. Some people just read it and go, wow, he's a pretty lucky guy. No. No such thing as luck. No such thing as luck or chance. No, we are seeing the predetermined will of God being unfolded before our eyes in Joseph's lives, in his life. It's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. And we again know that nothing happens by chance, and this was true of Jacob and his sons, and it's equally true of us in our lives. Bring it right home. Bring it right home. Everything that happens in this short time upon the earth was predetermined by God Himself for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the glory of His amazing grace, and for the eternal good of His chosen people. And remember the pit that we were in. Remember the pit that we were in that He took us out of. Oh my. And magnify our great God for His amazing grace. Give Him all the glory. Give Him all the glory. Give Him all the glory. The hearts of men are in the hands of our sovereign God. They're in His hands. And like a river, He turns them to wherever He pleases. And we see here in our text that Jacob, again, was shut up to God's sovereignty. He's shut up. He has no choice, right? He has no choice other than to say, take Benjamin. He's shut up to God's sovereign mercy. And Israel, Jacob, did not know what the outcome would be. He thought Joseph was dead. He thought Joseph was dead. And he knew that Simeon was in captivity. And we see then that all his other sons were about to leave him too. Think of that too. All his other sons are about to leave him. And he doesn't know if they're going to come back. See the dilemma he's in. There's more to it than when we read over it surfacely. There's a lot more to it. He's thinking, I've lost Joseph. Simeon's in captivity. And now all my other sons are going down there. Oh my. But he's shut up to the sovereignty of God, beloved. And he said in verse 14, the end of it, if I be bereaved, which is deprived of my children, I am bereaved. Let's read verse 15. And the man took that present, and they took double money in their hand, and Benjamin, and rose up and went down to Egypt and stood before Joseph. Again, they don't know who he's standing before. And we see that Jacob's sons did exactly as their father had instructed them. They went down to Egypt and stood before Joseph, and they took double the money, and they took a present. Now, Benjamin wasn't a child either at this time. Benjamin wasn't a child at this time. No, he'd be either in his late 20s or early 30s. He's not just a little boy. He'd be in his late 20s or early 30s. He probably had led a sheltered life, beloved. He probably had led a sheltered life due to the death of Joseph. And Jacob would have been overly protective of him. He would have been. Because he's the only other child of the wife that he loved. So therefore Jacob would not have allowed Benjamin to venture too far from home. And look at this. He can't just say, well, I'm going to Egypt, Dad. His dad has to say, you can go. That's how it was then. So going, now think of this too, if he had lived a sheltered life, going down to Egypt, he'd be excited. I'm going to see he'd see things that he hadn't seen. Big, huge cities, a whole new culture. My. So it would have been like an adventure to Benjamin. And then he also probably looked forward to seeing Simeon again. His brother. Now let's read verses 16 to 17. And when Joseph saw Benjamin with him, he said to the ruler of the house, bring these men home and slay and make ready for these men shall dine with me at noon. And the man did as Joseph bade, and the man bade the men, and the man bought the men unto Joseph's house. Now the last time that Joseph had seen Benjamin, Benjamin was just a little boy. So he'd see a great change in Benjamin. He'd see a great change in Benjamin, in his little brother, in his appearance. And imagine the joy that flooded Joseph's heart to see his brother. To see his brother again. He'd not seen him for over 20 years. Plus, 20 plus years, beloved. Over 20 plus years. I remember seeing my brothers for the first time after 12 years. And it brought joy to my heart just to see them in the flesh. I talked to them on the phone, but to see them in the flesh again, my. But I couldn't imagine after 20 plus years. That's a long time. But always remember that our great God's timing is perfect, beloved. It's perfect. Now Joseph would have been working close to the granaries when his brothers came and stood before him, but we see that instead of selling them corn, they come to buy before Joseph. Joseph tells his servant in Egyptian, to bring these men to his home and slay and make ready. For these men shall dine with me at noon. Now Joseph's brothers again would have been perplexed at this. They could not speak the Egyptian language. Remember last time they spoke to Joseph, they spoke through an interpreter. So they would not have known what Joseph said to his servants. They came before him to buy corn. Next thing you know, they're being ushered away. And how could they have known that Joseph had just given the order for his brothers to dine with him? Again, remember the last time that they stood before this man, who they did not know was Joseph. They'd been convicted of what they had done to Joseph, and they were expecting God's judgment to fall upon them. And now they're being ushered away from the ruler of Egypt, and they do not know why. They were not expecting blessings. They were probably expecting something bad to happen to them. And this is true of every born-again, blood-washed saint when we are under Holy Spirit conviction. When the Lord is drawing us to Himself, we know that we deserve to be punished for our sins, but we get exactly the opposite of what we expect. We get the opposite of what we expect. When our great Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, reveals Himself to us, we have a full pardon of all our sins, don't we? Oh my. And we learn that the wrath of God due us fell upon our substitute, the Lord Jesus Christ. All because on Calvary, He took care of our sin debt when He offered Himself as a sacrifice for the sins of His people. When He laid down His life as the great substitute, when He shed His precious blood and purged our sins, beloved, from God's sight. Notice verse 18. Notice they're afraid. Look at verse 18. And the men were afraid because they were bought into Joseph's house. And they said, because of the money that was returned in our sacks at the first time we bought in, that he may seek occasion against us and fall upon us and take us for bondmen and our assets. So they're afraid. They're afraid that they'd been bought to Joseph's house because of the money that was left in their sacks. And so that this ruler of Egypt could take occasion against them. That's what they think. They're afraid. They're thinking, what's going to happen to us now? Is he taking us there to fall upon us? Is he taking us there to take all our possessions and turn us into servants? And they had no idea, therefore, and they were afraid and perplexed. Now let's read verses 19 to 22. And they came near to the steward of Joseph's house, and they communed with him at the door, and said, O sir, we came indeed down at the first time to buy food. And it came to pass, when we came to the inn, that we opened our sacks, and behold, every man's money was in the mouth of his sack. our money in full weight, and we have bought it again in our hand. In other money have we bought down in our hands to buy food. We cannot tell who put our money in our sacks. So we see here that Jacob's sons are, they're already thinking, well, we're here because of that. So now they're giving their defense. Now they're giving their defense to Joseph Stewart. They believe they're pleading for their lives. And take note that this servant of Joseph speaks the Hebrew language, because they're speaking to him in Hebrew. This servant speaks the Hebrew language. He may have been the one who was the interpreter last time. We don't know. Last time they stood before him. But obviously he was a very high-ranking servant for Joseph. And we see that he speaks the language. And he's an Egyptian. He's an Egyptian. And we see that Jacob's sons gave a true account of what happened, didn't they? They gave a true account. And we know in our previous studies that when they came the first time, it was to buy food, and they had no clue that all their money had been put back in their sacks until they stopped at the inn, and they opened their sacks, and they went, what in the world? Oh, my. And so we see they bought all that money back that they found in their sacks to show that they were not being deceptive or dishonest. Now look at verse 23. And he said, peace be to you, fear not. Your God and the God of your fathers hath given you treasure in your sacks. I had your money. And then he bought out Simeon unto them. Take note of verse 23 here. Look at this. In our study on Wednesday, I mentioned a quote by Brother Scott Richardson that if one is a believer, it'll leak out, right? You'll tell others. You'll tell others about what we believe. Take note this Egyptian man's words. Look at this. This is an Egyptian man's word. Look at this. And he said, peace be to you. Fear not. Your God. Oh, he knows about their God. Your God. The God of your father hath given you treasures in your sacks. I had your money. And he bought Simeon out unto them. He tells his brothers there, peace is shalom. It means peace and tranquility in the Hebrew. Shalom. And he says these wonderful words. Look at these other wonderful words. Fear not. Oh, my. Remember Mephibosheth before David? Fear not. And through the Lord Jesus Christ, we hear the words, fear not. Fear not. Oh, my. We see here that this Egyptian who was the servant of Joseph had some knowledge of the God of the Hebrews. He had some knowledge of the God of the Hebrews. We know that Joseph would have been a faithful witness of our great God to his family and to the servants of his household. And they find out from his answer that they are not being accused of deception, or they're not being accused of being dishonest. And Joseph's servant says, your God is the one who hath given you treasure in your sacks. Let us never forget, beloved, that it's God himself who commands the light of the gospel to shine in our hearts, to give us the knowledge of his glory in the face of Jesus Christ. It is he who puts treasure in these earthen vessels. He puts treasure in these earthen vessels. In the sacks of our mouth, if you will, one John Gill says, in the sacks of your mouth, if you will, that we will know and understand the excellency of the power of our great God, and know that it is all of him and not of us. And we see in verse 23 that there's a joyful reunion as Joseph's servant brought Simeon out unto them. And he's released. And he comes by order of Joseph himself. His servant would not have taken the liberty to release Simeon if it had not been commanded of Joseph. So let us look upon these great events, knowing that as we read these are all coming to pass according to God's sovereign will. Let's read verses 24 and 25. And the man bought the man into Joseph's house and gave them water, and they and they washed their feet, and he gave their asses provender, and they made ready the present against Joseph. Came at noon, for they heard that they should eat bread there. So we see that it was Joseph's servant that brought them into the house, into Joseph's house, and he was quick to show them hospitality, wasn't he? He was quick to show them hospitality, special hospitality. He'd been directed to do this. He'd been directed to do this by Joseph. He gave them water that they might wash their feet, wash the travelers' dirt off their feet. He also took care of their animals, feeding them as well, feeding them. And note in verse 25 the phrase, and they made ready the present against Joseph came at noon. This is in reference to the present that Jacob had instructed his sons to take down to the ruler of Egypt. And they must have heard that he's coming soon. They must have heard that he's coming soon to dine with them. And we see that Jacob's sons want to present the Egyptian ruler with a present from their father, trying to appease him if he should be upset with them. So we have seen today that Joseph's brethren were driven by need. They needed corn to survive, to go and see Joseph, whom they did not know was their brother. And we've also seen that their fear has been changed to relief. Their fear has been changed to relief, knowing that they were not going to be accused of stealing. And now we see there's joy at them being reunited with their brother. Oh, look at that. Need. God shows us our need. Relief. That all our sins are forgiven in and through Christ. And joy. Joy. Joy, joy unspeakable we have now, don't we? We who are the people of Christ. Oh my. We're showing our great need when we're drawn to Christ. We tremble in fear before him. And then we hear the words, fear not. And oh, the joy that floods our hearts, beloved. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us again the honor and the privilege of gathering together in your name. Oh Lord, we who are your people, what great mercy you have shown us. What great mercy you have shown us, our great God, in and through Christ Jesus our Lord. And oh, you spared not your own son, but you sent him to die. To die as our great substitute on Calvary's cross. Oh, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. And oh, Lord Jesus, you laid down your life for your people. Willingly, willingly, you came here to die. Came here to die in our place. And oh, you're raised again for our justification. And oh, we marvel at this. Glory to your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.